is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
It's time for Enlightenment in the City with El Hosho Tara on the News for the Soul Network. El is a spiritual coach and intuitive reader with a unique flair. Strong yet soft, compassionate with a heart, she lives the consciousness of being feminine with strength. El tells it like it is. Welcome El Hosho Tara back to News for the Soul.
Hi, everybody. My name is El Maya Hoshiam Tara, and I'm your host for this hour here on newsforthesoul.com. You can call in. You can write in. Again, you can find our phone number at newsforthesoul.com. You can find our contact information there. You can also just do the shortcut, which is call 1-646-595-4274. Again, that's 1-646-595-4274. And then you can just press 1 if you want to be in the queue to get on air. So let's talk a little bit about love today. There's an old Bonnie Raitt song. Let's talk. I can't remember how to do it. I went a little Salt and Pepper instead of Bonnie Raitt. So let's talk about love and all these wonderful things like protection. So when we talk about love, there's a little bit of there's romantic love, and then there's love, which one of my teachers explained as energy that comes through you. It's the God force, and we call that love. So, and it does, in my experience, when I'm feeling love in my heart, what we identify as love, and making the assumption that it is the God force that they're talking about, but I can't say that 100% for sure, because I can feel when the love energy comes through, but I haven't seen it identified as the God force coming through, so I want to be upfront about that. But I do want to tell you that when we are talking about the love energy coming through you, this is very different than when you kind of tell somebody that you love them, but you may not mean it. It is different than when somebody says that they love you or that they have a loving heart and they don't mean it. And it is very different than lusting after somebody. So for those of you that are parents, you know, and you feel that strong, intense love that you have for your child, you know, seeing the baby and your heart's just about to burst and they got like these cute little hands and cute little toes. I can you tell I miss my kids from when they were babies. They're adults now. So now I'm waiting for grandmahood. But that love that you have for your children, adult to teenage, baby, whatever, that love that you have, imagine that being there, but being there in greater force and for more people. And it's sort of, it can be there individually, of course, but when we're talking about love more going through the heart or going through you and having those protections, that's different than romantic love. And it's, and the way that it comes through when you're dealing with it coming through you or you radiating that love is kind of like when you're having it for your child, or for somebody that you truly love, that there's no pressure for you to love. And I say that because sometimes there's pressure to feel love for people that you don't. Maybe sometimes you're just starting out a romantic relationship and they're like, I love you. And you're like, not there yet. Need some more time. You know, I like you. I want to see where this goes, but, you know, check with me in a month. And it's not because you don't like them. It's not because you will never be there. It's just you're not there currently. And that's a good thing to note for people kind of, you know, get a little freaked out if the person doesn't say they love you back. And, you know, it's been a very short period of time. It's because it takes time. Even if you feel those initial rushes and they don't feel like lust, you say you love them, you probably even feel it. But then after you say it for the first time, if you're saying it very soon, it kind of falls off and it doesn't feel like that. And then it takes time for it to like actually kick in later on, months later, for example, until you actually, years sometimes, until it actually gets there to that point where you're like, yeah, I really love this person, you know, and the love is there and it's been established and it's had time to unfold, which is a very different thing than, you know, I love you. We've never met, but, you know, I love you over, you know, three conversations over the phone, for example, or, you know, reality TV shows, right? They've never met. They've had in deep conversations. They know they love the person. You know, and it feels, initially it can feel very, very real. But then after you say it and you meet them and it kind of can go a little flunk, or even if you really like the person, it kind of goes a little flunk. And it takes time to build that up. So all those sorts of things are different. When we're looking at, you know, the love that we have for a child, going back to that, because that's the easiest one, you know, and do whatever that you can actually feel love for, whether it's you actually have love for your dog, you actually have love for your cat, you know, best friend, spouse when you're there, you know, romantic partner when you're there, parents, you know, and not for the duty field, you know, like, yes, you're my, you know, you're my mom, I love you, but because you actually love them. When we sort of do that, it's a little bit smaller than what the love is there. And by smaller, I don't mean that you love the person less, but it's sort of like if you put people that you actually love in a row with some other people, you can like talk to, you know, your child and have a lot of love in your heart for them completely and absolutely, and talk to somebody else who's standing right beside your child, and it'll fling down. The love will not be there quite as much, if at all. Maybe you don't know them. Maybe you don't even like them. Maybe you like them, but you're just not at like the loving standpoint. So even though you're really excited to see them because you really want to be friends with them or romantically interested or whatever, you're just not at the same level of love that you're having with your child. So it'll naturally, you know, go down a little bit. So it's kind of shorter, trying to explain the energy is a little bit shorter than it is when you're having love in your heart. And so when there's like, when you have love in your heart for your child, of course, you know, you want to love them, you want to protect them. That's part of the job as a parent, you know, and you're built for that. Some of us more than others, but, you know, some people have, you know, interrupting of that from trauma, for example, and that sort of thing does happen. Some people are not very loving towards their kids because they're scared of loving their kids and leaving them. So there actually becomes this blockage with fully expressing love towards their child because they're afraid of getting rejected by their child, even if the child is like, say, 4 or 5 years old, which is, you know, interesting and very painful. So, you know, we have compassion for that when people don't have love in their hearts. Have compassion for that because sometimes there's a reason why. But when you're having like the loving energy flow through you, it's kind of larger because it's not just being aimed at a few select people. You're not feeling it for a few select people. You're actually having just the energy out of you, and it is actually not as personalized as you may want or hope for. You know, some people want to be around that love because they think they're going to, you know, be loved by this person. It's going to be the most wonderful thing in the world. And it can feel like a letdown when they discover that it's not personal to them because people want to hold it. They want to claim it. And it's, you know, a very bruise, very large bruise to the ego sometimes to find out, oh, wait, they really love you that way. They really love the person next to you in the line. They really love, the person you don't like in the line who's further down. You know, those sorts of things. And, you know, because people want the security and the safety of it, and it doesn't quite work that way. So when there is protection, when we're talking about the big love stuff, which is different than protection, you're going to protect your child. When there's protection because of the love flowing through you, it is actually something that you can feel. It is tangible. In my experience, it was a skill set to get there. And when that comes through, there is a protective energy that comes with it. And that can push out certain negative energies, for example, and that can give you a cloak of protection. And I do, again, want to realize, you know, that was something that, you know, to get there, I mean, you're looking at a long time sometimes to get there, you know, and people, it's part of human nature, you know, I'm the best, you know, the ego says, you know, I'm there, I'm already there, and people aren't there. And the reason that you want to be in reality of that is because people do some, you know, silly things because they have their love in the heart and they think it's automatically going to protect them, and it's going to protect them from making bad decisions, and they're not in there and they're making a bad decision and they're going to hurt themselves or hurt other people. And when you're having love, it's a very real thing and you can feel it provided that you're there, but it not being there, you know, whatever practices people have to do to get there, it's really far from beneficial to shame people for it. It is, you know, not to be misunderstood, as people can make bad decisions being in that space. You can still meet people, for example, with such sticky energy that they can actually still get in, and it can take a little bit of practice in order to be able to get that out. And because I don't hang out with some of the people that maybe some other people are hanging out with, you know, how deep that goes when people get very sticky energy and they're trying to, like, and it's sort of like wafting into you, you can push out some of it, but even, you know, without going as, like, dark as humanity can go, some of those things can still get in there and be rather sticky. And so it can take a practice to do that. And how far it goes, I'm not at the point where I'm going to go hunt out, you know, the deepest, darkest resources of humanity and, you know, see how it stands up against that, because, you know, there's no point when you're ready, you're ready. And, you know, to get infected with that doesn't make sense to me before that. Some people might call that calling, like, you know, well, how do you know until you know? Well, if I'm having trouble getting the sticky energy out from people who are way less, you know, in the darkness, it doesn't really make sense to sort of like say, no, you know, hey, you're not a good strong swimmer, go jump in the, you know, the swimming pool kind of sucks because you got to get from A to B across it. It's an Olympic sized swimming pool, you know, and if you're in danger of that, it doesn't really make sense to go, hey, drop yourself in the middle of the ocean with a bunch of sharks. Point blank and simple. So how far that goes, I don't know. But I will tell you that it is a very real thing. And it is very important to know and understand this. And to stop pushing, there's kind of this thing now where there's a lot of pressure to have love in your heart. And in some ways it's good because it, you know, if it's done beneficially, you know, it's actually not really pushing people into it. It's just, you know, this is what's out there, what I call positive peer pressure, which is just people are simply living it and they're talking about it and you get the idea of it and hopefully you want to do it based on that. But then there's this sort of silly idea where there's a lot of codependency, and I've talked about that in past shows a lot, where people kind of get shoved into and being pressured into things that are not good for them, they're not ready for them. You know, there's a lot of flack about that, you know, the, you know, I have love in my heart, you know, that person doesn't because they're not there yet. But that's not a sign of love either, is to, you know, have that attitude with this, like, sort of righteous indignation. That's not loving either, to be clear about that. And additionally, that can take, like, you know, 100,000, million more lifetimes, whatever it is, before somebody's possibly ready for it. So it really doesn't make sense to bash people now for something that they're not going to be able to accomplish anytime soon, especially when the people that are doing the bashing a lot of the times aren't there yet either. They just think that they are, or, you know, don't even really think that they are. They just have an idea and they're practicing. You know, they're saying, I love you. Maybe, you know, they're flinging their arms wide in the, I love you, madly and passionately posture, but that doesn't really do it. And so, you know, to be aware of those things is really important. But I do want you to understand that it is a real thing. It is a very good practice and idea to go for, to have that naturally. But there's also the understanding that, you know, I mean, monks, for example, will study monks. There are such a thing as warrior monks. And warrior monks were there to help keep the temple safe because the temple kept, you know, getting robbed by invaders and those sorts of things. Other very deep practitioners, they've had, you know, powers where they've had the ability to disappear. So they've been able to protect themselves that way. They're not just like, hey, I have love in my heart. You know, I can stop everything all the time. And they may not actually even interfere because it may not be in the best interest to interfere. But those are like really, really advanced beings. And you have to understand that a lot of saints, et cetera, have been slaughtered over the lifetimes. And until you're actually there, and again, the ego likes to say, I'm there, even when people aren't. But unless you're actually there, we don't actually know what that's going to look like. And we don't actually know, you know, how that's going to turn out or how it works. And so it's really important for that because, you know, it's really important to know and to understand that, not just to keep away from the bashing, but I want you to understand that a lot of this stuff actually is possible, even if there are misinterpretations of it, even if some of those misinterpretations go so deep that people actually shove each other into danger. I've had some, you know, when the codependency is enough, you can have some pretty darn silly conversations with people, and people, when they're that codependent, they'll do anything to back up the opinion. So, you know, you can use the example, it's not going to make sense to drop yourself in, you know, in a sea of sharks if the person doesn't know how to swim. And I've had the conversation more than once where the person goes, well, at least they've learned how to do it fast. You know, and it's like, well, it's not really helpful. So I do want you to understand that this stuff is worthwhile. It is worth, you know, going for, and that there is a sort of correct action to it. And how do we tell when we're following something that's going to be more beneficial? My understanding, and this has been this way for quite a while now, years, is that this stuff is to take you further in a natural sense, but that goes both in towards interdependence or codependency. It doesn't mean that it's always going to make sense to you, but sometimes it makes sense further on down the line. It's more of a natural succession. And sometimes people try to jump the line and learn because they're more interested in one topic, and that's fine. And sometimes you can do it and sometimes you can't. So sometimes when it looks like it's a load, sometimes you just have to get there. And sometimes it, you know, it is a load, or it works, but just not in the way that the person who is explaining it thought that it worked, especially if they don't understand how to use it. But I want you to understand, like, all this self-development stuff is real. You just have to learn how to do it and have to learn how to do it properly. And you can either practice, you know, or you can be one of the people who says that they practice, even though they obviously haven't, which, quite frankly, it takes just as much time. And I said this over the years, it takes just as much time to actually practice as it does to lie. So in every moment, for people who've, you know, gotten on the take it till you make it, well, you can do that, or you can just spend the time actually practicing. And in the moment, you know, for people who don't want to do all the practice, if they're in the moment where they're going to lie and say how advanced they are, if they, even in just those moments, they practice, they would still at least be putting a little bit more in of what it would look like to actually have that, as opposed to just lying their butt off, which really just does absolutely zero, except it creates a lot of, it breaks trust. It creates a lot of confusion. It creates a lot of anger because people don't like being lied to. You know, they get resentful because they're being lied to, because they're being manipulated, because it's a really dirty energy. So doing this stuff naturally and authentically, and again, authentically can go either end to, you know, good versus not so good. Not because authenticity is bad, but it depends on how you understand it and the usage of it. And I can help you with that. So hopefully that helps people understand, because I really always, my point in my show pretty much is I want you to understand all this stuff is real. And I want to help you get to where you want to be going in a way that's actually going to get you results, that's actually going to be beneficial. And another part of my job, I feel, is to straighten out some of those misunderstandings, because, you know, I mean, it just creates a lot of nonsense. And then it, in some cases, it actually becomes toxic or abusive, because people are shoving other people into things that aren't, you know, even beneficial. You should have love in your heart. You know, how dare you not talk to your father who was highly abusive towards you? Okay. Well, is that even going to be beneficial for the person? Do they have the boundaries yet? You know, is the father still a danger to them? If they have children and the kids are small, it may not even be good, because you don't want them to get grandparent rights. You have to be careful about that. You know, there's all sorts of things. Are they a physical threat? Would they kidnap the children? You know, all those sorts of things. And when you get people who are like, yeah, we'll take care of them all, you know, and they're pushing somebody into abusive situations, that's pushing somebody into an abusive situation. They may be using love, quote unquote, as an excuse to do it. They may think that they have love in their heart, but if you have love in your heart, you're not pushing people to get their head pummeled in by daddy, just to be really, really clear about that. So good thing to understand. So we have, let's see here, we have callers already. We have area code 321, and then we have 917. So please stay on the line, area code 321. You're up first with L. Maya Hoshiantara.
Hi, Maya. This is Lorianne. How are you today?
I'm good. And where are you calling from, Lorianne?
Central Florida.
Central Florida. And what can we do for you today?
First and foremost, really did appreciate listening and learning. And I'm a work in progress, because I still have to work on a lot of things that you mentioned. Thankfully, I am in a good, healthy relationship, and it takes a lot of work on my part. And after a while, you know, the self-work that I've been doing reflects back to me. So I'm still working on it. That's one
good
thing. Thank you. And my question, if it's okay, is will we sell our home to the current corporate buyer? A lot of weird things are unfolding, and I know that it's probably them kind of holding back because of the stock market, Evergrande, and all the other things going on. The problem is, I don't know, I don't want to sell my house. I'm tired of moving.
Right.
And I'm hoping that that energy will get me to where we get to stay here, and good things come of it. So I don't know what you think or what you see.
Okay, so I'm sorry, for some reason your name just dropped out. Would you tell me your name again, please?
Lorianne.
Lorianne, okay. And does your partner want to move? Is this like your partner wants to move and you want to stay?
No, neither one of those. It was a random opportunity that was presented to us. And we're emotional about the house, but we're also intelligent insofar as business is concerned. If an offer comes, it's hard to pass by. I mean, we're going to listen to it. And, you know, they were going full swing, and now they're just kind of like hedging their toes. And it's kind of weird, because now we probably wouldn't be able to afford to move anywhere else. So now definitely I don't want to move, but we have signs. So I want to know, what do you see?
Okay, and what does your contract say for when they have to finish? Otherwise, the contract is dead.
There you go. August 5th, and they were talking about August 22nd.
Okay, well, if you don't want to move, and if your contract says that, you know, and there's nothing in your contract that says that you have to allow that, then I definitely would sort of just cut it off if you want to stay. Here, hold on for a second.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so I understand why you're muddled, because quite frankly, that's just going to keep going on. You've got, there's an incredible deadlock of energy. And when I see, say, incredible deadlock, I mean, you let it go, they're not happy. You keep it, it's not going to go anywhere. And August 5th comes around, and it's going to be the same thing. And then all of a sudden, it's like even if you move it to the later August deadline, it's just like everything comes to a standstill, and it's almost like cement has solidified. And to get it to, you know, budge one way or another, or to see whether it's going to turn out, it's just kind of like this giant, it's like finding out somebody buried a kiddie pool worth of cement in your front yard, and you're not going to be able to budge the darn thing now. And it just will not move no matter what. Hold on here. So basically, you know, whether I get you to move, whether I get you to stay, things kind of look as good for you either way. It doesn't really seem to make a huge difference in terms of your happiness. Let's see here. Safety and security. You are right. You probably have more of that staying where you are. So it makes sense that you're wanting to stay. And in terms of this, you've kind of got somebody who, you know, doesn't want to let it go, but isn't necessarily making things go through either. And that's what's creating this sort of deadlock along with your own, like, you know, should we stay, should we go? So when you, whatever your decision to make is, I would really suggest going for it extraordinarily wholeheartedly, even if that includes staying, even if that includes not letting it go beyond the first August deadline, because that's what's going to end up pulling up your baby pool of cement that's causing it. And it's really going to have a lot to do with your energy. And it's not about fighting with them, making them understand. I mean, we've all had interactions with people where they don't know what they want or they can't make things happen, and having a conversation with them doesn't really do much. It's just constantly bashing your head against the wall for no good reason. And that's kind of what it's going to be doing. So in order to get things moving, in order to sort of like stop the contract or let the contract peter out and renew, however your contract works, that's not going to cost you a lot of money, I would assume, simply not renewing. Just being very adamant that you're going to stay and you're not going to do it, will be, it's like the force of your decision, without trying to change their mind, just the force of your decision within yourself will be the thing that actually helps to unplug it, and that's the thing that will actually allow the energy to be able to finally move. Because when people are stuck in that deadlock position, it's really, really hard to get them to budge, like extraordinarily hard, because people are basically fighting against themselves, and you're not going to be able to get in there very much, and you're dealing with someone who is very, very solid. Think of like a large telephone pole, so to speak. It's very solid. You're not going to budge it. So the staying in your home, you can get yourself to be, have things going better once you just make up the force of your mind. The problem with it is that your partner also, you know, is kind of going through the same thing. So we have three people going, you know, do I stay or do I move? And the easiest way to get yourself solidified is to get yourself solidified first, explain your position to your partner. Hopefully you're getting your partner on your side, and that will help to budge things, because otherwise you're going to have two people that you're going to have to be sort of having intention with and having solid enough energy, which means you need to become the mighty mountain. You know, to deal with the, you know, to deal with the cement baby pool plus the telephone pole plus your partner, which is a lot of work for anybody, quite frankly. So when you can do that, you know, if you can get partner on board, then that's great. That'll help things to go a little bit easier. But the biggest clarity is really you're going to be the force of your own mind.
Oh, wow. Now I'm going to give you the details that I didn't want to provide before the reading. The details are, it's a corporate sale.
Yep.
That randomly approached us. We were not looking to sell. So yep. That's the other partner. And my husband is loves our house, but he's also a businessman.
Right.
And me, he, you know, renting what we're paying for the mortgage, we'd have to, living in Central Florida, pay double that for renting even an apartment, because I'm in a hot part of the country, hot literally, yeah, both, you know, temperature-wise as well as real estate-wise. I know that the real estate bubble is coming. So my thought process was something's going to happen that is going to change finances, and they're firing mortgage lenders left and right. I do know that something's going on with the housing market. So I just got to put the energy in, because my husband doesn't believe in the esoteric. He doesn't believe in the things that I feel. He doesn't believe in the things that I breathe, the things that I know to be universal. It's interesting what you had to say about the corporation being stuck. What is their motive? Are they trying to hold us down here so nobody else buys it? And if the market does, you know, because they're trying to hold the government is trying to hold on to the market with bloody nails, and it's not going to work. It's going to implode.
Right. How to explain this?
The corporate buyers trying to hold us down, and for their benefit.
Yeah, and so you know how sometimes you're talking to somebody and you can very clearly see the pattern of what somebody else is doing to them, and we'll say that the them is your friend, and you can very clearly see how the pattern's working, but it's nothing personal to your friend. It's just how the pattern's working.
Mm-hmm.
The other people are just doing what they're doing. You basically got that. It's really nothing personal. Obviously, it doesn't feel that way, but it's just, there's just like, this is what they're doing. There's a lot of, you know, we should be doing this, we should be doing that behind the scenes. And of course, you know, what flows out to the outside just ends up being a lot of stuckness, which isn't beneficial for you. And because it's not beneficial for you, and because it's them just sort of, you know, doing what they're doing, but not really doing much or just causing confusion, feel free completely and absolutely to just let it go, because you're not really dealing with a person that you need to take consideration of, because it's not really a personal feelings where it's going to affect their life. It's just people are running a bunch of programs, and you're just feeling the other side of it. You're just feeling the impact of it and getting aggravated, because you know, you're not really going to be able to make headway with that, because, again, it's a corporation. It's, you know, a bunch of people just sort of fighting with each other and all those sorts of things. So I don't think that they're necessarily doing it deliberately. I wouldn't take it personally, even though it feels really gross. They're just simply kind of doing what they're doing, and that's just kind of where they're at.
Now, we did, because I had a deep conversation with my husband, and this is how pushy they are. They want to make home improvements. They requested to make home improvements before paying us out. And I told my husband, no, not in the least bit. Give me a paycheck, and then you can assume ownership. But that's pretty pushy. And nobody's coming into the home while I'm alone. And he said, you're absolutely right. They could come. And this is the line that they fed him. And I don't buy it for a minute. They said, well, if we do $15,000-$20,000, home improvements on your home, the good thing is you'll get to keep it whether we buy it or not. That's a line. I know that's a line. There's no free lunch for anybody. So, my husband wrote them and let them know that you didn't provide the same understanding that we had in regards to the addendum, by where I requested that we close by the 5th, not the 22nd, and by where home improvements would only be done on the exterior, not on the interior. And the representative's response was, we're going to get a team together to discuss this. I mean, why are they doing these tricky little things? My husband says they just want to come in, see the inside of the house, take pictures, and they want to pre-sell it before they buy it, Lori.
Okay, a lot of people do that as a flip. They do pre-sell before they buy it, but making the changes, I agree with you. That's, you know, putting $20,000 on when there's no guarantee and that they're going to be perfectly okay with a loss of $20,000. That doesn't really make sense. I know up here, because I'm in Canada, somebody was staying, real estate's not my strong suit, but somebody was staying with a friend, and he was just supposed to be staying on the couch for a few days to somebody from his church. And he's like, well, I'll give you a couple hundred dollars to help you out. And somebody had suggested, you know, avoid doing that because you don't want to give them any sort of renter's rights. So I don't know if that applies there or not, but anything that says like they're getting in, that's kind of like the number one rule of real estate. You don't let them make any changes to the house until things have closed. And so, you know, so whether, you know, that, you know, whether they're doing that to make the changes for the pre-sale, maybe, but you're right in the fact that they don't just give away $20,000 for something that you can, you know, possibly just slip out on and change. I'd be skeptical of that, to put it politely, for sure.
Yeah, that's what alarm bells went off in my head, and I thought, they're actually going to try to turn around and buy the whole house with the miserable $20,000 based on the fact that they gave us money. So those are, that's the way I think. Maybe I'm a little crazy, but I appreciate what you just added in the sense of don't accept any money because you don't want that to be established as a contract. And also main real estate rule is don't let anybody fix anything until you're paid.
Yeah, like I'm not real estate, so I mean that's not advice by any means. It's just something to be cautious about, but I would definitely talk to somebody who does real estate flips and those sorts of things to get an idea on that. But if they're being that shady as well, I mean, it does make sense why you'd have boundaries up and very good, strong boundaries for sure. 100%, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm just going by my gut in the sense of, you know, why did they call us randomly like that? One, and then my husband, they tried to push him to sell, to sign, you know, the same day. And my husband stalled him on purpose because my husband doesn't make random decisions. He's a businessman. So what he did is he waited 72 hours and they called him and he said, I need my lawyer to look at it. Wouldn't you know that we got a second contract with the words, I'll send it to my lawyer. We got a second contract that was different in the sense of it did not let them come in and pre-sell before they even bought. And now they think, you know, I'm not going in so much on what they think okay, this is the way my mind works. The way something starts, the pattern will show you how it's going to go and how it's going to end. The pattern that they have established in my perception is that of being tricky and of thinking that they can sell us with beautiful words and open and empty promises. So that's why, in my view, I would like to make the big money that they're talking about, but something tells me that as much as I'm watching the market, they're watching the market as well, and they want to be able to pull out because they only put in a grand in the retainer. They only put in $1,000 in the retainer. And even when I'm not a corporation, when we've bought houses, we're asked to put $10,000 down in a retainer for a house.
Right.
So they didn't do that. Do you see that? I just have to ask. So, well, let me just go summarize. If I keep my energy high for my family, for my constitution, and for the benefit of all parties involved, them as well, I want them to be doing well because those individuals are the ones representing the corporation. I want their lives to be okay. So if I put my intention of positivity yet firm and firm boundaries, is that going to be good enough to where all this will just wash away? I just don't want to have to be dealing with the uncertainty. And more than anything, I don't like being defensive. I don't like being defensive. That is one thing that I don't like. I don't like it at all. I like having peaceful harmony in my gut. I don't like my gut to constantly be wrenched. More than anything, I like to live in peace and harmony. And I found harmony in this house. It's a number 11. You add up the digits, and it adds up to 11. And there's a lot of spiritual activity. I mean, they don't answer back, but I talk to the hawks and to the birds and to the trees and to the eagles and to the beautiful cardinals that like to visit. And
right. Lorianne, so in regards to your question, you know, I'm glad that you want it. I think that's very lovely that you want to do it for their benefit as well. But benefit does not mean that you're going to give people their way necessarily. What benefit does is, because they're not acting in the best interests, you can have love in your heart, which I think is always good and beneficial, obviously. But what ends up happening is you need in this moment, again, it's the force of your decision to completely and absolutely say no. And you can have love in your heart and have force of decision, but sometimes it takes practice to be able to do both. So you can have force of decision without worrying about the state of your heart. And it's not because your heart's going to go astray if you don't. It's just you're putting your focus more on, like, here and now. So I want you to think of think if we were looking at some sort of like superhero movie and there was like, say, a guy made of a bunch of, you use hawks. So let's say like a large stone hawk statue. And I want you to imagine he's got these giant stone legs and he's got love in his heart. But when somebody's coming up to him and they're decided that they're going to, you know, come up and kick the stone statue, and if he kicks the statue, all the hawks in the world are going to feel it because it's Hawkman, the statue. And I want you to imagine that Hawkman, this very large stone statue, goes boom, boom with his legs and, like, puts down hard, boom, boom. And from that, the person goes, like, a little bit, okay, wait, I'm going to put my shoes back on, because I took my shoes off to kick you. And they put their shoes back on and they walk away. That's not having a lack of love and heart. I know sometimes people worry about that, but you can keep love in your heart and have a boundary. Now, if you can do both and you can do it effectively at the same time, then do that. But not being focused specifically on love does not mean that you're having love out of your heart. I really want to be clear about that. It's just not, you're not keeping it in your mind's eye. And for you right now, the strength of it, because you're still working on boundaries to be as strong in the boundaries as you need to be. You're working on putting a lot of determination and focus into your boom, boom, foot down, no. And that's what you're needing to work on right now, is just learning how to get the force of that power and understanding that you're still a good person while you're doing it, while not focusing on the fact that you're a good person while you're doing it. And that consciousness that, you know, you're being a good person while you're doing it is good. But at a certain point, it's kind of like jumping off the diving board. Yes, you know the diving board's there. That's the love in your heart. But sometimes you have to jump off and forget the diving board is there in order to be able to sort of like make the leap. And that's all that you're doing. And so I have no doubt that you're doing it, you know, with, you know, care and concern and taking people into consideration. But for you right now, the exercise is that determination, and it also helps to release them from going in a circle where they're not really going anywhere. It also protects you. Boundaries are actually a very good teaching tool. They don't need to be a bashing. They just teach other people that, no, this isn't going to work. So thank you so much. We've got a lot of other callers on the line. So thank you, Lorianne, and I wish you all the best. And we have got area code 917-917. You're on the air with El Maya Hoshiam Tara.
Hi. Thank you for having me today. Yeah, thank you.
And you're welcome. What's your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Tina. I'm calling from New Jersey.
Hi, Tina. What can we do for you today?
Yeah, I just wanted to know what Sarah has about a relationship with Snoop.
Okay. Can you slow it down for me and talk a little bit louder because I'm having a hard time hearing you?
Oh, okay. I wanted to ask about a relationship. It's new.
Okay. And what would you like to know?
Just whatever spirit has for us. Where is it going? What are the intentions of it?
Okay. I need you to slow it down again and talk louder, Gina.
I'm sorry. Just the intentions. What does spirit have? The overall or whatever spirit has or essence is new. I'm just excited.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. One moment here. One moment here. Okay. So I want to tell you up front, I'm not allowed to give you some of the information. And sometimes because I can't do that because there's just too much, it'll be too much interference for the life path sometimes. So if you've caught the show before, I do this with a lot of people. I did this with the last show as well because they're like, you can't tell her that.
No, it's my first time calling, so I don't know how you work.
Okay. So I can't tell people something sometimes because sometimes they want you to have certain experiences, and I have to be careful because of the way that things can affect things, and I'm not allowed to interfere in that way. And so that's what's going on here. What I will tell you, and I don't like giving a free-for-all for this because they're not sometimes things can be a little bit more so in person or a little bit more intense or whatever, and I'm not always being shown that. Sometimes they can be a lot better, sometimes not so much. So I don't like saying that they want you to have the experience, but what they're telling me is I'm not allowed to interfere because there is something that you would get out of the relationship that they want you to have the experience with. Within that, if something goes great, then great. If something doesn't go great, this is by no means me telling you you need to stay in the relationship. This is by no means me telling you you need to stay in the relationship for long at all, 3 days, a minute. It does not mean you need to break it off. It just simply means that there's something in there that they want you to have the experience with, and that's all I'm being allowed to tell you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I'm sorry, I wish I could be more clear, but they're just saying that there's something that's in the relationship for you that they want you to have. I asked about, are you going to be missing any other opportunities by doing this relationship? And they said, for 3 years, there would be absolutely zero missed opportunities. So
3 years?
For 3 years. There would be like absolutely no other missed opportunities. So it's fine for you to get out of it what you need to, because there's not going to be sort of like any sort of loss or anything else if you don't do it. So whether you want to take the relationship, that's up to you. I'm not seeing like anything, horribly scary or anything else. I wouldn't put you in that position. But I don't always get told everything either. So I really want to make that clear as well. But basically they're just saying like, this is kind of like what's going to be happening. This is what's going to, go on. And no missed opportunities from it one way or the other, but there's something that they want you to receive out of it.
Okay.
So I'm hoping I didn't scare you too much. This is the first time I've ever had this type of reading. But again, there are certain, sometimes it's a little bit easier because I can give people details like, okay, you're supposed to be at that place of business for a year and then it's not going to work out for you. But for this, they're really like, nope, 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 too much interference.
Yeah, because I would jump ship. They're like, she will leave. Yes, exactly. Okay. Do you know my angels' names that were given the message so I could, you know, thank them?
That I don't do. I don't really get names on the angels and stuff like that. I've got my own people that talk to me. But in terms of who your angels are, I don't know. I don't do – that's not my forte readings that way. I've just got my people that I talk to.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I just wanted to know what angels I was talking to. Okay. All right. Well,
yeah,
thank you.
You're welcome. But if you want to talk to your angels, you can always ask for clarification. You can ask for – you can pray to have things be clearer about what they want you to receive, you know, those sorts of things. And hopefully things can become clearer for you that way.
Okay. And how do we reach you outside of this arena?
It's enlightmentinthecity.com.
Thank you. And you're not on Facebook?
I am on Facebook. That's L, it's under L Hoshi M Tara, Hoshi with a Y.
Hoshi?
You know what? Go to newsforthesoul.com and type in E-L-L-E.
E-L-L-E. Okay, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Thank you so much, everybody, for calling in. Unfortunately, we didn't get to area code 519. You were next in line. But please call back in at any point in time. So thank you so much, everybody. Again, my name is Elmaya Hoshiam Tara. I'm here every single week, 3 p.m. PST, New York or Chicago. That's your rush hour. I wish you the best. Come for the coaching. That's going to be the best thing that you can possibly do for yourself. I mean, really, truly, it's about putting the mind together. You know, how does this work? Excuse me. What causes blockages? What is going to interfere with my ability to do things that are going to be, you know, taking me to the next level? Those are all sorts of things that are really beneficial for you to know. So thank you, everybody. Again, I love you. Take care of yourself. See you here back in 1 week, 3 p.m. PST. That's newsforthesoul.com. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.